Welcome to a special sauna edition of the Slice of PI, where we take hot takes on the news whenever you feel like it. I'm your host, Matt, and with me is my co-host and frustrated candidate for sauna director, Borge.
Oh, you just got that. Okay, fine. A slice of sauna. Okay. Piyan nyo, piyan natin lahat, Borge at your service.
Mm-hmm. Speaking of which, like, the sauna director, napansin ko lang kasi nagsimula lang yan na uso yung may director, like a high-profile director for a sauna, like Brillante Mendoza and Binibining Joyce Bernan. But, you know, now it's Paul Soriano. So it's like, what do you think about the role of the sauna director, by the way? Kailan ba maging cinematic yan? Or is there some particular... Like, I mean, the State of the Nation in the United States, do they have a director? I don't know.
It's just, and the thing is... Okay, what the hell is a sauna, first and foremost? Mm-hmm. Again, we should not look at sauna merely in terms of substance. It is not merely substance. It's also performance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a measured performance, or in Duterte's case, it's a measuredly unmeasured performance.
Mm-hmm. A jazz performance.
Yeah, it's a jazz
lot of improv.
Yeah. Pero yeah, it is also performance and also substance. Mm-hmm. We could, I think that all... Even party congresses in China, they have their own program. It's not only about the substance itself, but it's also the ritual. Mm-hmm. So it's also performance. So yeah, we need to take that into account.
Right. And if you notice, like even, well, for Bombo Marcos's first sauna, there's a lot of, if you've noticed, embellishments, I suppose. Like for one thing, there's that shot of him like looking at himself in the screen. So I was like, whoa.
No, that was accidental, I think. That was not supposed to be there. Now it's a meme.
And you made that meme. We can put a link of that meme. There's also this one moment where actually it showed him facing his audience, sort of the back of his head.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is a choice. I don't know. We should talk about like cinematic techniques for saunas, you know.
But
one of these days, you know, maybe we should now get a director. But for now, yeah.
We can comment on it. I can easily say that
if you were the sauna director, what would you do?
I think the idea is there. Mm-hmm. I think it's inspired by Leni Riefenstahl's handling of the Nazi Party congresses. The idea is there, but the execution is just bleh.
Mm-hmm. What's he famous for again?
Leni Riefenstahl. She's a she.
Yeah.
And Leni Riefenstahl's famous cinematographer, director for, again, the Nazi Party would be there.
Yeah.
So she made several innovations on such. She was actually one of the first to shoot from an airplane airplane. So... Mm-hmm. So yeah, she's an innovator in such matters.
And she's the one on the Triumph of the Will, yeah.
Yeah, Triumph of the Villain. So yeah, if you're curious about Leni Riefenstahl's works, but yeah, the Triumph of the Will would be one clear example of it. But yeah, I think the idea is there.
It's actually listed in the it's one of the greatest moment like samples of cinema propaganda, but cinema nonetheless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which makes it look fantastic, you know, the entrance of like the tanks and the airplanes, etc. And now they're using it in contemporary political events. Like it's a big ritual. Actually, in a way, because it's the first, you know, it's a special, you know, the first one with this public and with his his politicians. So mostly, you know, it's become ever since like become very cinematic. But besides the visuals, let's look at the substance, which more of our colleagues and contemporaries have been doing. And so, you know, there were rumors that he was supposed to deliver a 4-hour speech, but they negotiated to make it 2 hours, like as if, but wow. Okay.
Why the hell did they need to negotiate? They should have allowed it to stay 4 hours.
Let's see. Ooh, yeah.
He's the one who wanted it.
Yeah. But you know, after like 6 years of Duterte like rambling on and on, you know, I mean, you and I have observed these speeches. At least this one was a bit more organized and it was a bit more streamlined, which is actually a breath of fresh air, you know. But again, if the predecessor has that low a bar, that's not that great. But in general, you know, what did you think about the State of the Nation address, the first one that Bombo Marcos gave in his very... how you say, uncertain and politically charged administration.
It's more of a breath of old air. So we're back to pre-Duterte standards.
Yeah.
But this is a slice. I could not, and I think we can tackle this more in substance in the future as the policies roll out.
Mm-hmm.
But again, I'm looking at the SONA first and foremost as both substantial, a summary of government policy, and as performance, both. Yes. And in between that, it's a matter of rhetoric. Mm-hmm. And I think the SONA itself was able to convey two primary things, or at least it tried to convey two primary things.
Mm-hmm.
First is a technocratic approach to public affairs.
Mm-hmm.
That's why many politically charged issues were avoided.
Yes.
So those were the focus was on administrative issues, on execution. So it tried to provide a technocratic image or an image of the administration. The other purpose is to allay fears by providing a quote-unquote realistic optimism.
Right. Wait, just a moment before we move on. Like technocratic meaning, there's a lot of technical jargon. There's a lot of things that that the regular citizen may not be aware of. A lot of rates of inflation, a lot of prices, a lot of a lot of numbers, and which kind of makes him sound smart and also at least aware of what the experts are saying. So it is trying to portray that image that he is at least right now abreast of the details. Yes. Despite that other thing, the other week he said that about inflation. Oh, I don't think we're that high, but at least now he's using those numbers. He's in agreement with numbers, at least. He's not trying to deny science, you know.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank God. At least now he's having a technocratic image, which is close to his father had tried to make a technocracy. So, yeah.
And the other thing is providing a realistic sense of optimism. You know, again, he didn't sugarcoat many of the problems.
Yeah.
So he anchored his policies on them.
Mm-hmm.
I think he provided enough details on certain areas, especially agriculture. I'm relatively relatively impressed with his agricultural policies.
Mm.
And this leads us to the third thing about the SONA. You know, what the hell is a SONA? State of the Nation address. Yeah. Address hot. But the State of the Nation address is basically shifting public expectations away from the plan towards execution.
Right.
The implication of this is basically you're providing the president an escape pod. Because if it's a matter of implementation, failure can be blamed on anyone else.
Right.
So,
I know, it's weird. Because it's a performance, you know, of course, it's laying out priorities.
Yeah.
Of course, by definition, you prioritize, you set aside other things. So that's obvious. And a lot of the things that he chose not to, like a lot of people talk about what he said, and what he said were interesting. Mm. We talked about trying to shift to alternative forms of energy, like solar energy, and then also reviving nuclear power plants, which is still politically charged. Precisely because of the Bataan nuclear power plant, you know, do we need more of those? It became a white elephant. You know, it was expensive. They put it up, but it was eventually useless. But most people said, we should probably might as well use it if it's so expensive. Then they make even more of it. Mm. Even talked about more infrastructure, continuing to build, even creating more airports, which a lot of people enjoyed. Yes. Again, but at the same time, he did not say a lot of key issues. You know, like, for example, human rights. A lot of people noticed that. Even right now, he doesn't have he hasn't appointed any commissioner or chairman. Mm. Yeah. He hasn't, and here's one thing. He talked about health, but despite recognizing that there are a lot of setbacks and we're still in a pandemic, he did promise that there'll be no more lockdowns. But I don't know. We can discuss this with actual health experts, but personally, I don't feel that it was proportional to the current situation. Like he says, we continue the IATF classifications, you know, warning levels. We would continue the vaccine rollout. Would lower the prices of things. Okay, but again, are these enough? You know, and again, just it didn't feel like it was given the proper attention, you know, like it's mostly continuity. And right now, you know, it's already, if you continue what's happening right now, you continue with the same holes and the same cracks. So, and
wait, I don't know if I missed this. Just did he appoint any DOH already?
I'm not sure.
Not
I mean,
hindi yata.
I run through the text. Nothing.
Nothing. So, yeah, our health issue is still.
Yeah, what is it politically like? You know, obviously avoided a lot of politically charged topics, but is DOH politically charged? I mean, you just need, you know, even like what someone to fit in the seat just for. Why do you think he avoided that?
He avoided.
Or why do you think there's no? Yeah, why is there no DOH secretary?
Because plain and simple, the DOH mishandled the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mishandling. we're only fortunate that we were able to eventually catch up. But the damage could have been reduced drastically if the DOH did its job properly.
Not to mention, we avoided that case with PhilHealth.
Yeah, with PhilHealth. So, he could not pry too much on the DOH because it would reflect badly on his predecessor. And he's not yet trying to start a fight with his predecessor.
Right.
So DOH, he provided some clear policy directions on it, which is fine. God he wants to strike a balance between the economy and, of course, public health, which is, again, the most apt approach right now in comparison to China. But other than that, the details with PhilHealth, the scandals with PhilHealth, the mishandling of DOH for the first few months.
So, we can't pry, but can at least like appoint someone at the very least, like someone to be maybe because no one wants to be the fall guy for DOH, you know, or captain of a sinking ship.
It's a hard job, and I have no idea why. We can only speculate, but I don't want to speculate on it in public. Right. But we don't know why. But he's supposed to announce the DOH secretary during his SONA because that's an important.
It would have been a great opportunity, yeah.
But no, so there's still much going on behind the scenes that we don't know yet.
Right.
Again, we can all we can do is to speculate, but then wait. That he would replace.
What do you think was the strength of his sauna? Like the strongest points?
Well, I think the focus was relatively clear. He's focusing on job security, energy security, food security.
Yes.
I think the strength for me was his agricultural policy, which had been lacking, which had been lacking for a long time.
Yes.
And for him to provide such detailed policies on it means that he's trying to put much weight on agriculture, which is, again, it's a long-term and even mid-term solution to food security, which is what we need now.
Right. So, especially with the prices of, I think even the prices of rice, which he said he would bring down to 20, but it's still going up, you know, like.
Yeah, and then, yeah.
And everything else. Yeah. Especially the price of oil.
Meron siya sinabi tungkol saan.
I think he mentioned the inflation of prices, but.
But he already said that it was a given to an extent.
Yeah. So nothing much there. So.
Yeah. He already warned that we would not be coming out of this.
Yeah.
Unscathed.
Yeah. I mean, I mean, it's a well-written speech, you know, and it's well-researched. It had numbers, it had the sources, it had caveats, but he had opened up new possible avenues.
Mm.
Well, not new or not so new, and I think I want to bring this up. But for one thing, he has this list of priority bills, and some of them are like, well, number one is e-governance bill, but there have been e-governance literature. You know, I think our senior colleague, Dr. Ona can attest to that. And here's one thing that I realized, like, which got applause, which is the establishment of a Virology Institute of the Philippines, or VIP, which, again, people are talking about during the pandemic, but doesn't that fall under the ambit of the RITM, or the Research Institute of Tropical Medicine? I mean, that's a weird thing. Yeah, why create new offices where there already are? Is that an upgrading the current office, you know, or is it, again, he's also, I mean, this happened before, right? A few weeks before that, he abolished a, something, I'm trying to remember, a office on anti-corruption, You know, most people said, means you're trying to get away with corruption. But apparently it was, in a way, a redundant office created by Duterte. And he's trying to, in a way, fold that. So it's that movement of offices. Any comment on that? Because streamlining is one thing, making things more efficient, you know, but at the same time, it kind of makes you raise an eyebrow, don't you think, when you move around the offices a bit?
Yeah, regarding the tropical diseases, again, I think that the office is not really focused on research, but more on executing prevention. Yeah, prevention on, again, disease control would be there. Mm. Pero right. I think the VIP is focused on research, I believe.
Yeah.
So, kaya nakadnan siya attached sa DOST. So it's more scientific than public health implementation.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more in research.
I suppose it's in a way an expansion, since virology was not a big concern until now.
It can eventually serve as a bridge between the DOST and DOH.
Mm-hmm.
Because DOH is the one concerned with the public health programs and policies.
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, but the streamlining is not necessarily about cutting down government. It's also concerned with, when you say streamlining, it's about consolidating functions clearly. It appears that there are some functions that can be consolidated.
Mm.
So then again, streamlining is also about cutting down. So ilang offices pa ba yung mga gusto niyang gawin? That's the thing. Research. Okay. Department of Water Resources. Department of Water.
Why?
Department of Water. But seeks to create Department of Water Resources.
Besides that, I have a list here. It's also establishment of a medical reserve corps. It's an establishment of a national disease prevention. So I suppose that's under the pandemic thing. So I suppose I can give him on that. You know, there's a lot, actually, to be fair. National Land Use Act. That's got a bit of applause. I am aware that there have been land use acts before. Maybe it's like reclassification again. There's also, of course, returning of mandatory ROTC. What do you think about that, honestly? Because this has been like a talking point for a long time. Like, kailangan natin yan.
He provided a more broader understanding of national security behind it. Yeah. So they're also going to be trained not only for military purposes, but also for disaster risk management. So, which is that, you know, that is fair.
Mm-hmm.
That's fair.
I mean, a lot of people said that it needs to be a source of nationalism that is, in a way, disentangled from left nationalism, if you think of it. It's more like volunteering.
But he didn't really pander to the nationalist thing. He said that the ROTC would be to train for military preparedness and
functions,
disaster risk management. So he's very practical on it. Bahala na yung mga supporta niya maglagay ng nationalism thing dun sa ROTC na plan niya. But for him, it's very practical.
Yeah.
They need manpower. Immediate accessible manpower under such conditions.
That is a good topic we can explore in the future with someone in the ROTC or something like. But
it's like the Buya.
Okay, yeah.
ROTC. Ako nag-ROTC din ako, so.
Mm-hmm. But of course, and the implications, and for some reason, a lot of people appreciate this, and attach a lot of symbolic meaning to ROTC.
But Marcos didn't pander to those symbolic things, which is good. Thank God. Well, at least he had very practical.
Sure. Practical explanations to it. That's not very rhetorical, actually. Yeah. Mandatory. Yeah. Enactment of the enabling law for national gas industry. Something like that. Internet Transaction Act. Basic stuff. Tax package 3 of tax reform, which could be about raising the taxes.
That would be tricky. People should keep an eye on it. He may not have mentioned it because it's bad publicity, but there may be a possibility of it.
Yeah, we're not saying for sure, but he's going to need to. Yeah. So, especially if now one of his programs, besides, of course, subsidizing food, is subsidizing, you know, like medicine, which is the disease prevention. The medical supplies, not just so it's not just food supplies, medical supplies. So that needs a lot of money. Where are you gonna get it? Yeah, Italiano gold.
They didn't mention anything about Italian gold, damn it.
Yeah. No, but actually, if you think about it, you know, a lot of people have said this, though. It's well designed for reassuring the investors, but at the same time, mixing in a bit of Tagalog. So what do you think about that?
No, it was a good bet. I think he had a broad audience with this. So will investors be pleased with the details? Probably not. They have their own economists. So his statement on fiscal management was more on motherhood statements. So motherhood statements will not cut it. So they will still wait for something a bit more specific inflation rates, specific tax rates, if it would change or not. So yun ang hanapin nila. But if there are anyone who would like to invest in agriculture, I think this would be apt. Or if anyone would like to start MSMEs, so he also provided specific policies.
Again, you probably need to talk to someone about agriculture. Maybe Jules,
agriculture.
That's more food security.
Food security, I think Jules. Food security. But yeah, we just need to keep an eye on it. Again, SONA is not. It's not about writing something in stone.
Notice that, of course, there's this one particular thing that caught my attention. When you talked about education, mentioned something about, of course, he said, and I'm not talking about history or what is being taught. I mean that there needs materials, you know, budget, which is, of course, practical. You know, when he turned to Sara Duterte, who is the new DepEd secretary. But what do you think about this aside or the side comment where he said, well, he's not going to change anything about history or what is being taught, but mostly it's investing in the materials needed as educators. This is good news, right? Or what do you think?
You know, as far as I'm concerned, if he would simply focus on logistics and funding and cutting red tape, which I'm actually looking forward to, that would be good.
Right.
What educators should do who are against historical distortion is first and foremost, what they must do is to acknowledge any success in those programs. Because that, you know, Bongo Marx actually gave them he's not explicitly pushing for historical revisions. So he's providing a relatively more leveled playing field for those who are contending on what our history should be. So it's a relatively more leveled playing field.
Yeah.
Now, if those who are defending or who are against historical distortion, then they should first and foremost acknowledge if there are any benefits. We will see what would happen. If there are any benefits that would come out of such policies, they should first acknowledge it, then again, return to the old business of trying to keep distortion away.
Right.
Pero, you know, I'm happy that he didn't say much about the distortion.
Right.
So that's good.
One thing that he avoided. I think one thing this speech is clear, he avoided a lot of pitfalls, you know. It was almost a pitfall. But the weird thing is that one thing, I don't know if I said this before, but I think I'll say it again, that I think I said in a space, that for those who have feared distortion, you know, the weird thing is that I don't think he needs to touch the records or the curriculums because
other people
and you know, Bongbong got elected in spite of what is being taught. People voted for him in spite of what's being taught. They didn't listen. Instead, they listened to alternative bloggers, news sites, an army of influencers or micro influencers or what have you. So, and he can simply just endorse these and leave the others alone.
Or he need not endorse us.
Let the free market of function on itself.
I think
which is more dangerous, actually. You know, you can handle censorship, because you can just simply reveal it. It's like, oh, this is being censored. But here it's like everything is revealed and people just choose what they want to believe. That's more dangerous.
That is liberalism at its finest, as you say. Yeah. There must be a free market of ideas. Too bad the free market is against liberals.
Nah.
Too bad for them. So it's a challenge for them. They must be competitive in such matters. They could not simply hang on to, quote unquote, a univocal understanding of truth. Right. They must learn how to package truth. They must learn how to appeal to those who are not listening.
Right.
And that's the challenge for them. That means for academics, knowing the truth is not the only thing that matters now. Communication with the other party must be tied and must be given equal importance. You may know the truth, but if you don't know how to speak to them, they will not listen.
Yes.
And having a free market of ideas, which is probably there, we'll see what happens. Again, censorship.
He learned from his father. Yeah. His father tried to censor. Yeah, look what that happened. Yeah.
I don't know. We must still be vigilant about this.
Sure.
The IATF is still there. They can still burn books.
Mm-hmm.
Persecutions can still happen, but he need not raise a finger at this point.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing. He'll probably just let other autocratic dipshits deal with us.
Yeah. All right. And we talked about a lot, but I do want to bring back to, well, to the last words, how he ended his speech. And I want to know what you think, George. It's like, I don't have to intend to diminish the risks and the challenges that we face in this turbulent time in global history. And yet I see sunlight filtering through these dark clouds.
Wow.
We have assembled the best Filipino minds to help navigate us through this time of global crisis that we are now facing. We will endure. Let our Filipino spirit ever remain undimmed. I know this in my mind. I know it in my heart. I know it in my very soul. The state of the nation is sound. What do you think?
Well, that is his mandate. He has a large mandate. So, yeah, it is sound for him. Then again...
this is a reality. I'm sure a lot of his opponents would disagree. Maybe standard Filipinos might disagree. Well, it's like what you said. It is a realistic optimism.
Yeah.
It's because, not the best or the superlative, but it is positive.
The danger with realistic optimism is that it can very well open the gates for all excuses regarding failure.
Ah.
And this is the key to understanding this sauna.
Mm.
It, by being realistically optimistic, it is feeding on the capacity of the Filipino to excuse anything.
Right.
And by being realistically optimistic, anyone who can excuse, the administration can simply say, well, he knows the problem. Kung if he failed, then wala na magagawa. Ayan naman yan. So, or they can blame it on someone else. And this is, I think this is the most pernicious part of, this is the most pernicious, yet this is the most resounding and resonant part of the sauna.
Mm.
They are opening a space for failure.
Mm.
And, you know, as far as I'm concerned, practically speaking, yeah, fine. There will always be a space for failure.
Mm.
So, but then again, to explicitly open it in public links it up with the issue of legitimacy. They can keep their legitimacy even if they fail. Mm. Then again, as long as the failure would not be as severe and traumatic for more people.
You know, this reminds me of the rhetoric of Xi Jinping and his communist party of China. He said that the moderately prosperous China for the new century, something like that. Moderately prosperous.
The moderately prosperous was basically there to pave the way for lowering GDP targets. lowering GDP targets.
Yeah.
Kasi binabang GDP targets for the past few years. And that was anchored on the moderately prosperous. So they can afford to change their policies.
Yeah. It's like, we did warn you, it's going to be a bit lower, you know.
So. Yeah, we did warn you, it's just moderate. It's not extremely good. Yeah. It's just moderate. So, is it good? Is it a good move? Politically, it is.
Mm-hmm.
Safe. It is.
Very good at being safe.
Yeah, it is playing safe. And again, Filipino culture allows this to happen. So it is as it is.
Yeah.
But his optimism is... its optimism is good. But then again, ano naman yan eh? Was Duterte optimistic about Filipinos during the past honors?
Quite frankly, I can't remember a lot except for the meandering curses.
Duterte was more of a hard-nosed realist in his honors.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him being this level of optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
He's more of a hard-nosed realist and saying that we will do this because this is it. This must be done. Marcos provided a shade of optimism.
Just a bit. Just
which
enough.
Just enough. Mm-hmm. He could not overemphasize optimism because we are in deep shit right now.
That's true. Like, it's weird, a lot of people might expect more, he might be his father. In a way, he can't afford to be like his father. His father had, in a way, more leeway and resources, literally, and politically, financially, perhaps even the global, the playing field was different back then,
And a more fashionable life. So, he could not be his father.
Yeah.
But,
He might be more of a caretaker just to get out of his shit, but and we not envy any president that would follow like a pandemic president. No, so yeah, you're saying.
I hope he just does his. I hope this the agricultural policy would run through. Because right. If he does that, if he can accomplish that one within 6 years, I would happily praise him. Because that is something that's very lacking.
I mean, we do hope that he succeeds in what he says, but there's a lot of things that, of course, he didn't say, which is a cause of concern for a lot of people, especially the opposition. But in one thing that they also did not talk about, well, they didn't talk about human rights or the ICC ruling or the war on drugs.
He didn't say much on the ICC, but he was firm about us being jealous with everything Filipino. So, again, careful treading the path with China. No need to mention the ICC. Just be strong on other terms.
Uh-huh.
So,
the war on drugs.
The war on drugs. Oh, sorry about that. The ICC was a different one. Sorry. I confused it with the stinking Navi. Ruling with the Hague. He didn't flaunt the ruling.
He just said that he would be firm in foreign policy, I think.
Yeah, he didn't flaunt the ruling, right?
Not necessarily, no.
I didn't. No. But for the ICC, the human rights, for him not to mention that one, that's an embodiment of his clout and of his mandate and of the failure of the opposition.
Mm-hmm.
The opposition failed to learn from their mistakes in 2019. This is the price that they must pay. Mm-hmm. The issues that they love would not be mentioned at the very least.
Yikes. So that, of course. Yeah,
so kung di pa naman sila matuto sa ganito, bahala sila sa buhay nila.
Wow naman!
I mean, this is the cost. They're paying the cost for their stupidity. Mm. Put it that way. So don't expect Marcos to say anything about those dearly beloved issues of the opposition.
Especially when it is against, of course, his allies and his electorate, his voters. And they still love Duterte. And of course, there's continuity. Yeah.
And it's against his, general policy approach, which is just administrative.
Mm-hmm.
Barely politicized to an extent. Quote-unquote politicized in a common sense. Not mm-hmm. in our definition of politicization, but
mm-hmm.
just focusing on, public policy and such.
Yeah.
That's the price that they have to pay. He's leaving that one to his pundits.
So another thing that perhaps we can end on this note, one thing he did not mention, and which I think it normally for any president, I would expect him to mention this, and that right before the Asona, the day before, there was a shooting in Ateneo, and it was done by a doctor who was. In a way, a disgraced doctor who is no longer able to practice because of several civil libel charges, and he had this grudge against a mayor from Basilan, former mayor of Basilan. So, and as a result, it became a hot topic, and it was politically motivated. Of course, some people said that because she was a supporter of Lenny, that it justifies him, a BBM supporter, to go out there and shoot in broad daylight. A politician. And this is in a way an affront to an authority of the president, since even if you supported him, you would trust in institutions, and trust in leader to handle it. But in a way, even in his as he was being dragged into the cell, he even said sana ibalik yung approach ni Duterte, yung paggobyerno ni Duterte, because anti-drugs, because grabe sa droga, because he claims that his targets were drug lords or part of the drug trade. So of course this is, I suppose, left over from the previous administration. What can you say about this? The fact that he stayed silent on this. It's logical, as you said, it's part of being safe, but it feels a bit callous to leave it out. At the very least, he should have acknowledged it, especially since it's an insult in a way. You're supposed to promise unity and peace, and that you have one person from a political side shooting another. You know, that's not unity. The other, you have some people, his fellow BBM supporters, you know, cheering him on, saying, "Stay strong." I'm like, what the fuck? Anyway, anything you can say about that?
Well, first and foremost, condolences to the victims. But should we expect him to say anything? Does he need to?
I mean,
because he doesn't need to say anything on such a matter, because he already has an army of people who would deal with it in their own way. He need not get his hands dipped in such matters.
Well, I suppose a liberal leader would, and I think that's the consequences of that, you know, like the sunset of liberalism, people would say. Or yeah, but at least, you know, I think some Biden or Obama, at the very least, they mentioned like the shootings, you know, tragedies at the very least, quickly, you know. But this one, at the very least, feels
he doesn't want to pander to the crowd, which he doesn't want to pander to the liberal crowd,
right? That's the weird thing. I mean, it could easily be labeled as just a personal grudge, you know, something domestic, you know, but it became politically linked when people started speculating, you know, and he, in a way, invoked the old drug war, you know, of the previous president, you know, lingering how the narrative, so it became politically charged. So I don't know, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know, and it could give license and embolden people to do the same. What do you think? Or is he just like a special case of crazy, you know?
Yeah, I think it's a special case of crazy. He always, as far as Marx had said, the essence of society is always with the dreary average. And the average is, we are angry online, we are passive offline. So he's a deviant case. I don't think it would spread.
Wait, did Marx say that? Online and offline?
No. He said that the essence of society would always be found in the, I'm paraphrasing, the dreary averages. Dreary averages, not in the exceptions. So I think this guy's an exception. But we'll see. Who knows? Maybe someone would commit violence in the name of the leader again. And that he may be forced to say something.
Yeah.
Then again, you know, that's the thing. Bongbong Marcos is trying to clothe himself into a sensitive technocrat, but a technocrat nevertheless. And technocrats don't deal with such things. Duterte was no technocrat. Duterte wanted to be on the ground, you know, be one of the people. Hence, he would probably respond to this directly. But that's not Bongbong Marcos's approach, I believe. I think.
I could have said he's quite good at refraining from participation and refraining from speaking on things. Yeah. Might as well stick to the strengths and keep it quiet on it. Yeah,
this is a good Taoist leader. You know, just keep your mouth shut on such matters. Which is a good example for his followers.
Well, that's a good way to end.
if you don't know what you're saying, just keep your mouth shut like your leader. So. Whoa. Totally. I mean, he may be a good example. He should be the paragon of not knee-jerking your way through shit.
Knee-jerking your way
through shit. If you want to be like Bong Bong, just don't knee-jerk your way through things. If you don't know things, just shut the hell up. We won't shut you up, but you must.
Yeah.
For sake of civility is not about us forcing people to shut up. It's about people knowing when to.
Not telling people to shut up, but just knowing when to speak and when not to speak.
I think Bongbong may be a model, at least in part.
He probably has a proper handler. Yeah. His wife.
He should handle his followers to an extent. You know.
You should.
Anyway.
Hopefully this is more signs of at least progress. Let's hope he succeeds in the things he promised. Yeah. And perhaps the things that he doesn't, hopefully they get resolved eventually. And we hope that I suppose we get out of this hellhole.
I hope that we will have a sauna next year.
Why would we not have a... Oh, God.
Who bloody knows?
Oh, no! Well, that ominous warning. Thank you for joining us in this hearty double slice of PI, these two big news items. If you want to send us a message, please send us an email at pipodcastph@gmail.com. You may find us at YouTube, Spotify, and Anchor, or where mostly you find your podcast. But until the next episode, and we know we said we're on break, but we broke our break just to say this is very important. But until the new episodes, which will come in, as we say, on August, until then,
magandang gabi, mga kapiay.